What's up, everyone? I'm Andrew Steinwald, and this is Zima Red. On this show, we speak with the users, founders, and creatives that are diving into the world of unique digital assets, also called non-fungible tokens.
Andrew Steinwald is the managing partner of Sifirmion, an investment firm focused on the NFT ecosystem. All opinions expressed by Andrew and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Sifirmion. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Sifirmion or related entities may maintain positions in the assets discussed in this podcast.
Hey everybody, today's a very special episode of Zima Red / Behind the Arts. We have teamed up and we're doing kind of a mashup episode. And for those who are watching the video, you can see clearly that I am with Josie. And the reason that I'm with Josie is because we are actually married.
Surprise.
We actually got married in October of last year. So like almost a year ago. Yeah, literally almost a year ago. And today we're going to be just chatting about our backgrounds, how we first got to know each other, how we got involved in crypto, what we're kind of doing and building today. And we're also going to discuss why we didn't kind of, from the very get-go, be public about our relationship. And so we're going to dive into all those topics. And so very, very excited to start.
So we actually met around 5 years ago, a little less than 5 years ago, which is kind of interesting that we're going to be talking about our whole crypto journey, because a lot of our crypto journey started at the same time when we met, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, we definitely dove much deeper together.
Yeah.
And which is really cool because it kind of reinforced our own beliefs. Like, because we had beliefs about crypto, but then when you meet someone who's also really gung-ho about it, you just dive deeper and deeper.
And one of Andrew's, like, I don't know if you could say pickup lines, but he was like, "So have you heard of Ethereum?" And I was like, "Yeah." And like, just like so confused.
Okay. All right. Well, the story was we met each other in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was like a friend trip. It was my friends, her friends. We actually didn't really know each other at all. So we combined groups, went to Mexico, and, we would chat every once in a while, but like, there's a lot of people running around. But I think at one point
chat every once in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't go so deep into it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I was really trying to flirt with her the entire time.
And she was having
none of it. But what I knew was if I approached her in a different way, talked about Ethereum, all girls love Ethereum. So I knew if I brought that up, then, I would get her heart. And so I think, like, it was in Mexico. We were chatting about, and you said, like, "Have you heard about Ethereum?" And you're like, "Yeah." Yeah. And then you were actually one of the first females that I've ever spoken to. At that time, that had really heard and knew a lot about Ethereum, and so we kind of started building off of that, and
I didn't. Yeah. I'd say, like, you gave me a lot of credit there. I didn't know a lot. Like, I knew some, but definitely we started geeking out about it together, and it just like spiraled from there, and then we became like obsessed with it, and all of our friends were like, "Can you guys shut up about crypto?" So like, it definitely spiraled from there.
Yeah, so basically after Mexico, I was like, okay, this girl's really cool. I need to date her. And we were actually in Chicago, which is where we're both from. And I introduced her to all my friends. We went to a bar, like, right after Mexico. And introduced her to all my friends. I was like, "Hey, this is my future girlfriend, Josie." And all my friends were like, "Oh, my God, no way." Like, because they, like, didn't really care about that. But then Josie would be like, "No, I'm not his future girlfriend. Like, I'm just his friend, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
And that
You're really persistent.
Very.
Which I guess is, I mean, it worked out. So
the keys,
a great thing.
The keys to a woman's heart, Ethereum,
yeah.
Persistence. That's it.
Yeah, confidence, for sure.
So then after that, like, we started a date, and then we moved into, because we were living separately in two different places. Then we actually moved in together.
Well, we eventually called the Crypto Castle.
Well, yeah. So I was living with three other guys in Chicago in like a brownstone. And we called that the Crypto Castle because I was into crypto and I was doing stuff in crypto. My other buddy was doing stuff in crypto. And then my two other friends, they had like normie jobs, but they were both very deep as well. And, it was that? Yeah, that was 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was 2017. So like, it was like ICO mania. Everyone's going crazy. Everyone's super pumped about this and that and this new coin, this new ICO. And yeah, it was a really, really fun time because it was kind of like, looking back, it was like our formative years of where we are today. But it was like, I mean, I knew nothing. Like, at the time, I thought I, like, knew a lot. And looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I did not know what was going on at all. But
we had really cool memories there because, so initially when I really started learning a lot about crypto with you, I was working in finance and I decided I want to work in like the blockchain crypto industry. And then I quit my job. I was waiting tables in the West Loop. And then I started a coding boot camp at Northwestern. And I actually remember at the coding boot camp, CryptoKitties had been released. And I was telling, first of all of my, you know, you have these like small projects that you have to code and test and these websites. And all of my projects were like crypto related. So everyone in the class was like, okay, here's like the Bitcoin Ethereum girl. And like my professor, he had known about crypto and like him and I would chat about it sometimes, but everyone sort of like made fun of me for it. And then CryptoKitties came out. And I was trying to get my friends to like buy CryptoKitties with me and trade them with me, but they were like, no. So anyways, back at home, Mac, Thomas McNerney, who is one of our roommates, him and I, we were buying CryptoKitties and like sending them to each other to breed and like sending them back.
Wait, I bought CryptoKitties for you. You had your wisdom teeth removed and then you came back from the surgery. You were like all drugged up and you're like, you were like, hey, go buy CryptoKitties. Go buy CryptoKitties.
And no, I was like, Josie, what are you talking about? I wish I would have remembered which one it was. I wanted a super specific one. And I was like, you have to buy me this specific one to make me feel better. I was like drugged up. And he was like, no.
I got some, though.
No.
Yes,
did you, though?
Yes.
Did you get them for me or for yourself?
No. When you came back from surgery, I did get you some. I think it was like two or three.
See, but the problem they is not, we lost our wallets.
They were baseline. They were not cool ones.
Yeah, I specifically remember I wanted something really cool, but I just don't know which one.
I figured that if you were drugged up, then like I can get you like
a I wouldn't one. Know. Yeah. I think I wanted a few of them, but and then of course like we don't know where those wallets are, so that's kind of sad. Yeah. But anyways, I was also the really cool thing is like. I wasn't loving coding by any means, but I loved the design aspect of it. And I had told Andrew, like, for so many years, like, growing up and all this, I loved creating art, but I hadn't created it in so long.
Okay, wait. So I'm going to interject right here because it was like we were dating for, I think, like a year at that point, roughly.
Probably.
Yeah. And she had never, like, talked about that she was, like, good at art or, like, any of this stuff. So I had no idea. And then one of her friends, I think, texts her and was like, hey, Josie, I remember this painting you made for me back when, you know, we were kids or whatever. And I go, Josie, this girl texted you and said that you made this.
Cameron, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not, like, where'd you buy that? She's like, no, I made that. I was like, dude, you made this? I was like, no fucking way. Like, this is insane. Like, this is crazy. And I was like, you have to, like, start, like, using your artistic expertise in, like, crypto. And then from there, you were just like...
And anyone who knows, Andrew knows that, like, in his personal life, he is, like, always amped for other people's, like, he's like, you should try this. Oh, are you interested in that? You should make a YouTube channel on this. So he's, like, always trying to get someone to, like, really follow their passion and go for it. Like, to the point where it can be annoying sometimes, but it's, like, it's an awesome quality. Yeah. So he was like, you need to create art, like... And I was like, and we were like going back and forth, like, should I do something crypto related, all this stuff. And you really were like one of my biggest fans, like, in the beginning. And like
supporter.
Yeah, supporter, because I never thought, like, and at the time, obviously, I was just creating it for myself and like for our house. Like, I wasn't doing it for anything special. But like, you were the one who's like, you need to get back into it. You love that. You need to get back into it. And I was like, should I really? So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And then also, like, the reason that you weren't really like into art from the get-go was that you thought that, okay, well, artists don't really make money. Who makes money? Finance people. That's why I'm going to study finance in college.
Right.
And then that was the whole thing. And then when I saw your stuff, I was like, dude, you need to keep doing your coding or whatever, but like also, like, dude, make art. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And then, so when did you make Genesis? Because you started working on Genesis.
Yeah. In 2017, I started working on Genesis, what, probably like...
October, November.
Yeah.
Of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like peak crazy, like things are going nuts. And you didn't like really show me, like you said, like, yeah, I'm working on a piece, but you didn't like really show me it until the end.
No, I didn't show it to you at all. I had like a whole setup so I was living in the house with them, but I also had my own apartment with some roommates from college. So our entire dining room table was just filled with like the art piece in Genesis. You know, it has like hundreds and hundreds of these tiny little circle cutouts. Okay, and, like,
so your roommates would come back and you'd be like hunched over the table like with your pen and like doing dots.
Like, and like doing dots everywhere. And they were just like, that's so awesome. But like also like, what are you doing? And then I showed you at the, I mean, you saw it when it was completed.
I think you showed me, it was like completed in like December or January, something like that.
No, it was, yeah, I think December.
I think it was like, I thought it was like after like BTC had reached all time highs and like BTC had gone down, but there was still some stuff that was going up. So it was still like straight euphoria.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that. I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. This is so cool. And then,
and it was cool because it had the Baron Bolt mask.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like super, to explain the piece, basically girl, bull, bear mask to represent the bull cycle and also the inevitable bear cycle that was going to probably follow. And in the background, there's all these different logos of different coins.
And they were all the top cryptocurrencies from, I pulled them from CoinMarketCap. So it was like,
top 100?
Even like, 100, I think. So it was even like the scam coins and everything that BitConnect. Was going on. Yeah, BitConnect was in there. And even when Ripple. I look back on it now, there's ones on there that I remember the logo, but I can't even remember the name of the project because it's been gone for so long.
Dude, Neo. Neo, well, Ant Shares. Like Ant Shares was like the bee's knees, the Ethereum of China. I went really ham on Neo, but anywho, that was fun. And then I after I saw that piece, I was totally blown away. I was like, this is insane. I was like, more people need to see this in the community because everyone's gonna freak. And so I was like, you need to post it to Reddit. Like, this is so cool. Post it to Reddit, r/cryptocurrency.
But I didn't even have a Reddit at that time.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure I couldn't even post because I had no karma.
You needed a minimum of like, I don't know, 10, 20 karma or whatever. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll post it. And then, you know, I was like, okay, how can I get the maximum amount of karma, of course. And so I typed in like as the header or whatever, like the headline. I was like, my girlfriend made this piece for me, like this painting for me.
For Christmas.
For Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
And oh my God, like for like 3 days, it was like, top page, like at the very, very top of r/cryptocurrency, and this is like back when r/cryptocurrency
was like
the spot.
Yeah,
like anything crypto was like that's where you went, and to have it up there for multiple days was crazy, and the feedback was nuts, and everyone's like, I want to buy prints of this. It's so cool.
Votes, yeah, and not only that, so everyone was like, I want prints of it, which was like, it was just a crazy experience, and it was also really validating. Like, okay, other people actually are interested in crypto related art because like I didn't know of any, and like it was just such a weird journey. But then also there was at the time a really big company that was trying to buy the piece from me. Do you remember?
Was that I thought that was in like March. Was that like later on?
No, right. Was at the time? Right with the Reddit post. They were messaging me, and then I had a call with them, and they were based out of what, Milwaukee or something?
Yeah.
And then they were like, we'll fly you in with the piece. They wanted to pay 2 Bitcoin for it.
Which at the time was like, it was like $30,000 or something.
Yeah.
Or something.
And I was like, I have like student debt. I have my coding bootcamp debt. I was like thinking about it. But at the same time, I was like, I really don't want to sell this piece. It like became, like it was really special. I know that sounds dumb.
Wait, okay, so for you, did it like, was it like a click where you're like, okay, this is something that I could do. I could make art around this space, and then like this will be my thing.
And not only that was a click for sure, and but everyone asking for prints of it was a big, they were like, we'll help you produce this. This is how you should do this. And like the Reddit community was trying to get me to like go forward with it, which that was a huge thing too.
People were DMing you being like, hey, I own this print shop. Like come print it here, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God.
And it was before crazy. I had like a Twitter, I think, too. I think, yeah, it was before I had a Twitter. So, like, that's I wasn't, crazy. Like, it was just purely, like, posted on Reddit, and that was the reason why I continued to create. I mean, I would have probably, but, like, the reason why I realized I could create crypto art for not just myself or, like, our house. Like, I could actually make it for other people.
Yeah, it was a really, like, it was a kind of before and after moment. It was, like, cool idea, cool, let's see if people even like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then after she posted it, the community's response was crazy. And so then it was like, okay, this is something that's viable.
With his, how I told you, his craziness of like, everyone needs to like take their talent and use it to the max.
I was,
he was, so I was waiting tables every single night, like working like 6 or 7 nights a week, every day on the weekends. And I was going to school during the day full time at Northwestern because it was like a consolidated boot camp. So I was dead.
And you get home and be like, paint.
We lived in this room together in the basement. And like, he'd be like, yeah, what are you going to paint tonight? And I was like, I'm not.
I was like, you need to paint.
Can we curse on this?
Yeah, we can curse.
I'd be like, I'm not fucking painting tonight. And he's like, yeah, but what about this? And like, it was actually really fun because like one of the best things of like this whole journey is like we can riff with each other and we can go back and forth on like different ideas and stuff. So that was, you're annoying, but annoying in, I guess, a good
way. Positively yeah. Annoying.
So like the basement turned into like half. Our room turned into like half room.
It was just all computer. It was like a bed on the floor.
Yeah,
like
we have pictures of it.
Yeah, bed on the floor. No box spring. Just a mattress on the floor.
Yep.
And then we had computers, and then like all this art stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like, the room was like totally packed. You didn't like wind your way around.
And then I don't know while we were still in that room, but I don't remember how long after I initially made Genesis, I got the printer.
Oh my god, the printer. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's, all right, so I guess, like, you can see us.
It's bigger than a couch, and it's 500 pounds.
It's way, yeah, bigger than a couch, over 500 pounds. Yeah. Like, this is insane, this thing. And we hired, I think, 4 guys to bring it in, into the room. And
people who were delivering it?
Yeah,
I was at work, so
So I was there with 2 of my roommates, and we like, knocked down some, like, wood paneling, and it was a whole thing, and then we put it in my room. I was like, oh my god.
You had to bring it into
so
the garage.
Good. Yeah, through the garage. And oh man. And then like I can't believe we live with that printer. I mean, we still have it, but like in our because we only had one room. And so in our room all day, every day, and like when you print like reek of ink and just like be so loud, it's like
and it's come to like our like all like 5-6 places we've lived since then.
Oh my god, everywhere. It's that thing won't die. I always say you gotta get rid of it, but it's always following us.
Yeah. So anyways, that was sort of like the beginning of my art journey, which was really cool. But then also, we should talk about like we went to a lot of meetups and everything too, which was really cool because it wasn't just, we had us in the house that were in crypto, and then we had one other, like Mac was really into crypto. And then us three would go to all of these Chicago like Bitcoin meetups. And then eventually we even like hosted one for a little while.
Yeah. Okay. So that was super cool. Is back in, this is like in 18 now, and the bear market is we're entering bear market territory. Right. And this was the bear market of 18 was brutal. Like I'm sure the bear market, like 2014, 2016, I didn't really pay that much attention as much to the pricing. I was more interested in like, okay, what can I personally build in crypto? But the actual coins back in 2013, 2014, 2016, 2015, I was just like, this is like mostly speculation. Like, I don't even know if any of this will survive. 2018 was also a period where I was like, oh my God, I don't know if like Bitcoin's going to survive. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. It went from, what was it, 19,000? And then dropped all the way down to, I think at its lowest point, it was like 3K.
3 something, yeah.
Yeah, and it dropped down 3K and it didn't like bounce back up. It was like there.
And by the way, when we had first gotten together, and I remember when I bought my first Ethereum, which was like around, it was between like 40 and 80 bucks. I don't remember which, but Bitcoin was like $1,100. So it was like, think about from the point in 2017 where it was $1,100 to like the point at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018, when it was like almost 20K. Like, that is crazy.
It was nuts. And so I remember going to these meetups, and like, it was like say, let's say January, February, the meetups were really like packed of people because it was just off the highs. And people were like, oh no, it's going down now, but it'll go back up. Because it had done like 3 big dips during 2017. So people were like, oh, this is another dip, it'll go up. Because everyone thought like it's going, like Bitcoin's going to 100K. Like everyone was like so convinced of that. And so everyone was like, oh, okay, like this is just another dip, it'll be normal. And we were going to these meetups, the energy was really great. There's a lot of like random people there, like not crypto people. And that was great. But as 2018 progressed, like it was almost went from like euphoria and everyone's excited to almost like you would go to these meetings to like cope with other people. You're like, yeah, I'm still a big believer in the technology and blah. But like everyone, like the whole, you could tell like the room was different. Like the environment was different. People were like kind of slumped over and like
but
this.
But there was still like, there was a core group of people who had been in it for way longer than I had been that were like, nothing really ever fazed them. And like, I truly don't think they cared about the price.
No.
It wasn't
the people like, okay, towards like mid 2018, towards like the fall of 2018, the people that were still going to meetups were like, these are people that had gotten into Bitcoin like 2011, like 2012, and were just like, they were like, I'm holding this until it like becomes a world reserve currency. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
And so like that you know, that was like, we were confident about it, but also it was like disheartening, right? Because like you're like, oh my God, like, is this not going to be a thing? Anyways, we actually ended up starting our own meetup. I think it was 2019. So 2019, there was that. Yeah. So the price action 2019 was pretty crazy because we started kind of like, we had some real volume in like kind of, I want to say it was like March. My dates can be totally off, but I remember there being some real volume and things kind of really picked up and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it gets back. And in 2019, we also started, we did like the Chicago chapter of Crypto Mondays, which was like this meetup that we did. And like,
who runs that again?
It was Lou like Kerner. Lou Kerner out in New York.
Yep.
And there was like different Crypto Mondays in like all these different cities. And so we're like, oh, we'll do the Chicago one. So it was like me, you, Mac, Gil from Athena Bitcoin. Yep. And then like that was like the group. And then, and then like other people would come. But it was like, you know, at that time it was like we would get like 2 to 3 to maybe 4 people that are outside our core four like coming to the meetup. Yeah. And so like I don't even know if it was a meetup. It was like people going to a bar to have a drink. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
it was still cool though.
It was super fun. It was super fun.
Also, I mean, the meetups definitely changed throughout the years for sure. Our very first meetup that we went to together was a Disruption Joe meetup.
Oh my God. We didn't talk about that.
I know. So like really briefly, we went to a meetup, Disruption Joe, and we met at that meetup initially. And then he was going to start a conference, a big blockchain crypto conference in Chicago that eventually, you know, was called Voice of Blockchain. So I had finished my boot camp and I was talking to him and I was like, I want to work in this industry, blah, blah, blah. I love doing design. And he's like, okay, why don't you do the design for everything? I was like, okay. So I did for this conference, I did all of the like banners, the promotion, like literally anything visual for that conference I did. And that conference we put on in August 2018 at Navy Pier in Chicago.
It was a cool conference.
It was a really cool conference. There were some hiccups for sure and like a ton of learning experiences, but it was really cool because we had a lot of the crypto influencers of that day. Because, you know, that was like really big during that time.
Oh my gosh.
Like the crypto influencers on Twitter.
Should we say names? No,
no names. Okay. But that was like really hot during that time.
So hold on. I will say like the crypto influencers of that era remind me a lot of the NFT influencers of today. Like there's a lot of these people that are like a little
like even more intense. And like, but the difference is the crypto influencers, a lot of the crypto influencers of that era all show their face, all did videos, did like short videos talking about what coins to buy.
Yeah.
And like they had their own like, they had their own like classes that you would like pay for to like come like figure out, and they would tell you like what coins to buy, and like it was like super sketchy.
It was like paid telegrams where it's like,
yeah,
hey, join our telegram, we'll tell you like what coin we're gonna pump and stuff like that.
So we had all the crypto influencers at this conference, like almost, like a ton of them, and I was showing my art at the conference, so I was like making a ton of pieces for the conference, and that is also where I met Marguerite, coin artist, who I was a huge fan of, and she, I don't remember if this was strategic or not, but we put Neon District right next to my area. That could have been strategic.
She was like, so she like came up to you. She's like,
she was
like
awesome.
So cool. But like right
she
away,
was like
cool.
Cause like I was kind of I was like fangirling over her for sure, and like nervous to meet her. And there was like the Neon District art. We had printed on huge banners for her, and her team. And then when I met her, you know, I introduced myself, and then she was looking at my art. She was like, your art is so badass. She was like, this is so cool. And she was just like automatically a huge supporter. And I was just like totally blown away by like her just kindness and like, I don't know, like being so receptive of me. And so she actually at that conference, literally right there in person, was like, oh, I'm going to Paris in October 2018 for the 10-year Bitcoin birthday. Pascal Boyard is putting on a show, and I'm going, do you want to come? And I was like, sure.
So I remember like running around and like kind of, you know, seeing what's out there, talking to people, whatever, and then I would go to her like your area every once in a while, and then I remember you'd be like, dude, like I was just invited to like an art, like to show my, like to show my stuff in like Paris. And I was like, what? Like, what are you, like, I was like, who? You're like coin artist. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
That was so cool. And I mean, I will never forget that. It was such a like important like piece, puzzle piece. You know what I mean?
Wait, so, okay. So after Voice of Blockchain, which is really fun, really awesome. Did we go to Paris after that?
Yeah. Paris was October 2018. It was October 2018. Which was, like, Paris was a very hectic trip.
Very hectic.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, God.
So I was there for emotional and physical support, right?
No, to carry we were going to do, like, a trip. We we're like, okay, let's...
Do a trip?
What is this? The intention was to,
We'll go there for
do the gallery with do the crypto art gallery, and then we'll go for a couple extra days and enjoy Paris.
Well, so it was like, we'll go for a couple extra days first, then we'll do the gallery, then we'll go home.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, yeah, we have some time to enjoy Paris and, like, that run around. Ruined. We did run around.
Yeah. A lot. So basically, long story short, the art never arrived. The art that I shipped to the show never arrived.
And also, I don't know if you guys probably can't tell, but Josie, like, it gets, like, very stressed out. And when she's stressed out, she's just like, it's like, she's like... You know, just
no,
like,
yeah, I didn't dude, know.
You get tense.
I'm like, depending on the situation. Listen, I also used to get a lot more stressed because this was like my first, I felt like this was like my big, like,
it was,
you know, thing. And I like, and I was invited to it. And like,
I shipped
my art. What?
No, like, of course, like, it's your first big show.
It was my first
with
art
coin
show.
Artist with Pascal. Like,
yeah.
These like, people, and your art doesn't show up.
You're, yeah. Like, so I was supposed to ship my art beforehand, and Pascal was gonna get it framed and put it up in the gallery. And so I was like, okay, that's so awesome. My art never arrived in Paris. Well, it arrived, but like a week late. And I had paid for like the best shipping. Like, I had done everything I could possibly do to get it there on time. And then, so we get to Paris and, there was really bad weather in the U.S. That's why. There was like a hurricane
or something. There was some crazy storm or something.
Something crazy that had happened that everything kept getting delayed and delayed. They're like, it's coming today. Okay, it's coming tomorrow. See, it's coming the next day. So like everything kept getting delayed and I had no idea that it wasn't going to be there in time. Like I really thought it was going to be there in time.
I think we had like a day before, or maybe it was 2 days before, where we like, okay, it's probably not, it might not come.
Right.
We need to think of plan B here.
Yeah. So then when we were in Paris, we were trying to find a print shop to like reprint these, but they were like really big. So it was just a total shit show.
I remember like, so Paris is like, everyone's like, oh, it's a walkable city, which it is. It is very walkable. But also like,
but not when you're,
I remember going
to
like,
to like
this print shop to like this print shop to this print shop, and we're like running, like just so sweaty, just sweating everywhere, and just like carrying all this stuff, and like people, like, you know, we don't speak French, and like trying to explain to them, yeah, we need like this print, like this size and this material. And, like, it was crazy.
Yeah. So basically, what the finished product of what I ended up with, which I was like so internally upset, but I tried to like, in the gallery, not make it seem like I was. We got them printed, and it was, like, not the quality I wanted, but, and it was not the paper I wanted. It was not the dimensions. Nothing was what I wanted, but we got them printed, and then we were running around trying to get them framed, like, last second framed, and it just was not happening. Everyone was like, no, it'll at least take 2 weeks, and I was like, okay. And so then I just showed up with, like, these posters, basically, and Pascal was like, it's totally fine. Like, Pascal had the best vibes.
He's so cool.
Ever.
So cool.
And he was like, we're just going to tape them up to the wall. And so, like, everyone's art was, like, so beautiful, framed.
It was like this little, like... Like the little plaques. It's like,
yeah,
like whatever artist, like made in 1943.
Yeah, Pascal had all of his originals, so
and
beautiful.
Just like,
and then
like
I
scotch
just
tape.
Like literally taped up to the wall of this gallery.
People liked your stuff though. That was cool.
Yeah, but I was, it was definitely like, it crushed me.
Presentation
a
does matter, but like people still like they loved it. So
yeah,
it was good. Basically, long story short, really stressful trip, but also really, really rewarding, really fun, like great memories now. By the time we're like, oh my God, like everything's going wrong, like this is crazy.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
And I got to meet, like, meeting Pascal and some of the other artists in person was super special.
Yeah.
At that time too. Especially because, like, obviously, I mean, we can definitely now appreciate it with how everyone's been on lockdown for so long. But, like, that was a cool, that was a really cool experience.
All right, so while all that was going on, this is towards the end of 2018, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this was when, so my partner and I, Dan, we actually launched a crypto hedge fund in July 2017. And we were doing okay, but we weren't crushing it. And, you know, my whole thing is that, listen, if we're going to do something, I want to be really good at whatever that thing is. And we were doing well compared to the market, but we were underperforming our peers. And so we're like, okay, well, we need to shift focus here. Instead of being generalist crypto, we need to focus on a certain niche within crypto and become, you know, the dominant players, or try to become a player within that niche. And so it was in, so yeah, while this craziness is going on, Dan and I, we were looking at, okay, what market can we enter that no one's really looking at or not paying attention to? And, you know, obviously we had exposure, like we had known about NFTs before, but really it was like through CryptoKitties and like Josie's art. But like that to me wasn't an investable asset class. I was like, I don't see how CryptoKitties could spawn anything larger, which is funny. It's so crazy how I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And also like even your art, like I was like, okay, art's cool. Like I get it digitally, but like, I don't know if we can launch a firm that's focused on that asset class as a whole.
And the space was just so much more immature than it is now.
Yeah.
So it was like hard to grasp.
And there was a lot of people that like saw way, way, way before me. I'm like not an OG compared to like so many people out there. But it was actually from your urging. You're like, listen, NFTs are going to be big. They're going to be huge. Like you have to pay more attention. And so you convinced me. This is in February of 2018 now. No, sorry, February 2019.
Yeah.
You convinced me. You're like, hey, go to NFT NYC. Like we'll go together. I'll show my art. You can kind of talk to people, figure out what's going on. I say, okay, great. So I went there, and that like that changed everything. Like it totally altered everything because
for me too, both of us.
When I was there, I was trying to talk to different people, figure out like what are, you know, why are NFTs cool? Because people were like, the energy in that room reminded me of Bitcoin 2013, and Bitcoin 2013. I got all my information from the forums, but people, this is like after the bubble popped from 1,000 to 200, and people were like, a lot of people were like super depressed, like freaking out, but there's a core group of people that were like, no, listen, like this technology is game changing, like nothing's changed, like sure the price is down now, but it's going to go so much higher, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I had that same feeling, that same energy, same vibe at that conference in New York in 2019. And I remember trying to figure out, okay, what's the buzz about? You know, who can I like really talk to that's really going to tell me more? And I saw this guy that was on his iPad, and I think he was like showing you like all this crazy like VR virtual world stuff, and he's like, hey, like check this out. And I was like,
well, he was using this iPad to scan my table, and I was like, okay, what is he doing? But like we hadn't like spoken yet, so I was super confused what he was doing. And someone and John had just walked over and was explaining like Vault, and like before Additional became Additional, the name of it, he was explaining Additional app to me, which you guys will know, like you guys will know if you know about Additional. So he was like telling me how you could take pictures of everything and make NFTs immediately of it, and like how I should do this. So I was thinking that this guy was like just taking pictures of my booth and like making NFTs of it. So I was like, what is he doing? And so I look over at his iPad and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm doing a 3D scan of your booth. And I was like, what? Why? Show me. And so he's showing me how he's literally just like taking his iPad, moving it in every direction and getting a full 3D render of my booth. And to me, I was like totally mind blown. I was like, this is so cool. And he was like, yeah, we can put it up in like this different environment and this really cool. He had all these like, he was showing me these alleyways he had scanned with all of this beautiful art that he had uploaded into the alleyways.
They were alleyways like from LA.
Yeah. So cool. And so he was just like totally blowing my mind, and he was talking to me about crypto. He had a CryptoVoxel shirt on, so he was like talking to me about CryptoVoxels and like talking to me about all this stuff. And I was
didn't you know about crypto? Like you knew before
crypto? Yeah, voxels. I did, but I not fully like of how, like I didn't have any land. He sold me my first piece of land.
No way.
Yeah, I asked if I could buy it. Wait, from him.
Who was this person?
Jin. Oh, did we not say that yet?
No, we haven't said it.
Okay, Jin.
Twitter is DankVR.
Yes. Jin was like, he was like this like metaverse god. Like he was like living in the, in a totally different realm from us, I feel like. And like I was like fully enthralled with everything he was telling me. And like we were talking about, it was before CryptoVoxels had really like no galleries, no art. It was all black and white.
You couldn't even put NFTs inside.
No, CV. You couldn't do any of that. And so I was like, I want a VR gallery. I want this. I want that. And like I was like, my mind was exploding. And he's like, yeah, totally. And he was like, duh. And totally just, I can't even. It was so cool.
Yeah. Okay. So I see them talking, and she seems like super into this conversation. I was like, okay, like what's going on here? Because he's got his iPad out. It looks like he's doing some cool stuff. Anyway, so I don't approach him then. I like waited because also I didn't want people to know that like Josie and I were together necessarily. Mm-hmm. And we'll explain like as to why that is later. But anyways, I see Jin like by himself. He's like sitting down on this bench. He's like outside the conference room. And I walk over to him and I'm like, hey, Jin. I was like, hey, man, like my name's Andrew. Nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. He's like, hey, I'm Jin. So I'm talking to him and he's showing me like CryptoVoxels. He's showing me like the capabilities of you know NFTs and like how everything's going to like merge together in like these virtual worlds and NFTs. And anyways, I talked to him for like 4.5 hours. So I was like at the conference, my conference was Jin. Like yeah. That was like it was a 0 to 1 in everything metaverse, everything NFTs, everything Ready Player One, all these things that we've like seen and read about and heard about. Jin was like the manifestation of that, and that knowledge he's able to communicate effectively to noobs like myself about why NFTs are like this missing piece to the metaverse puzzle. And when I understood that, it was like, I remember being like, wait a second, hold on, wait, so, like, and I would ask a question, I'd be like, wait, so is this the blah, blah, blah? He'd be like, yes. And I'd be like, oh my God. And like every single thing that like we spoke about was like a revelation. I was like, oh, this is gonna be huge, this is gonna be huge. And I remember I remember freaking out. I remember being like, at the conference, I was like, this is the exact, first of all, this is gonna change the world. Like that was very clear to me. It was like instantly clear. And second of all, I was like, this is like exactly what, you know, I was looking for. Like, this is a market that no one's looking at that will be the biggest market ever. And so that's when I was like, this is it. Like, yeah. I am so lucky. And yeah.
He opened up an entirely new world for the both of us separately, which was really cool, which has happened a lot, I feel like, in our journeys. Oh, like, man. We have organically gotten to know a lot of the same people, but at different times. This one was like back to back, which was crazy. But like, it's so cool to see how someone can not only change your journey, but change someone else's journey in a totally different way, just because they're so passionate about what they're doing and like the world that he's like living in.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's so cool.
And so it was after that conference, I came back to Chicago. We both came back to Chicago and I started researching, you know, investing, just like I was like, just like full on NFT. And then I end up setting up my firm now, Sifermion, in September 2019. And then I was like, okay, this is going to take a long time for people to understand because Jin was able to explain to me in 4 hours, but he's been doing this stuff like since he was like out of the womb. And so I was like, I need to set up something where I can talk about on a podcast, do a newsletter. I need to like tell people about this crazy industry because it's not going to be like... every movement needs evangelists. And I was like, okay, well, hopefully I can be a great communicator of what's happening here because it is crazy. And so that's the whole reason for setting Zima Red. And yeah, like ever since then, it's been a very crazy, crazy ride.
Do people know where the name Zima Red comes from?
Oh, yeah, okay. So Zima Red is basically from the Netflix series Love, Death, Robots. And the reason
Love
it's from...
season one. Season two, so, too. But
season two
was
garbage.
No, it's not garbage.
So there's an episode in season one called Zima Blue. And basically the whole premise of that series, I won't give it away, but basically the best artist in the universe foregoes all of his fame and fortune to do what he loves, and which is being a pool cleaner. And so it was just all about following your passion. And so at the time, I was like, okay, well, what is everyone doing? And you know, like Zima Red was kind of weird and like anime and kind of, you know, kind of metaversy in some sense. I was like, okay, cool. I'll just call it Zima Blue. But I was like, okay, I need to switch the color at least. So Zima Red. And then it made sense to me because everyone at the time in NFTs, no one was like getting rich. Like people were like,
no,
this will be a thing one day. I don't know when, but like I'm just obsessed with this because it's going to change the world. And so it was all about people following their passions. And that's why I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna name it after the famous artist in the world that just like gives up everything to do what he loves. And so that's essentially why I named it Zima Red. All right. So going back, let's go back to like, you know, beginning of. So right after the conference, so this is like, let's say March 2019. So basically, Josie and I sat down and I was like, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go full force in this space. And you had already had you know, you had a great following, you had a great community, you already had a good brand. And so basically we decided that, like I was going to, we weren't going to tell people we were together, because if I was going to enter the space, I didn't want to like ride the coattails off of you. Mm. And I wanted to kind of be an independent person and not like, I didn't want anyone to be like, oh, like Andrew's only popular or like cool because of Josie or like vice versa.
Yeah, even though,
like,
totally.
Obviously it was very one-sided at the beginning. And, it was just like, we didn't know what was going to happen if people knew that we were together. And so like, why even risk it? Let's just keep it, like, just make us apart. And if I do big things, if you do big things, then like good for us, right? Like, awesome.
And if they like overlap organically, like even better. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened was like, I started to dive deep into CryptoVoxels, and I want to talk about the early days of CryptoVoxels because like, you know, a lot of really great people and great founders and great companies started from the early CryptoKitty Discord, like Axie Infinity, for example. All the Axie founders met inside the CryptoKitty Discord. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think CryptoVoxels was like a whole nother hub where all these early people would go, interact, attend events, like do cool stuff, build stuff, like collaborate.
Conlon and NoShot met there, started Async.
Oh my God, like so many
people. So a lot of the people in Decentraland, not even just developers, but like really amazing community members that were building, like wanting to build really cool stuff, like building games in Decentraland, like had used all of their different, like, working on the physics and the SDK and all of this to, like, create really cool experiences in Decentraland, got a little bummed with, like, the progress and, like, how fast or how slow things were going. So a lot of them came over to CryptoVoxels. So it was this mix of, like, I'm thinking of someone in particular. I think he's likes to stay Anon now. But, like, he came over and brought such an amazing skill set and was... could actually like build, you know, Ben was like putting in physics and like all this stuff, so could actually build these little games or build this little thing together. So the community in CryptoVoxels was super tight, which was amazing. And we were all like nonstop, like it felt like we were building it with Ben. Like we weren't just like...
Well, so he would call his team. He'd be like, hey team, doing blah, blah, blah today. Because he was working on it part-time and he had a full-time job.
Yeah.
He was working on it part-time. And yeah, everyone was like adding their input and like trying to help out and whatever. And I think then there was like, I felt like there was like 200 people in the Discord. You know what I mean? Like there was like such a small group of people.
Yeah, it was really small.
But so that was a great entryway for me to really dive deep, because through a virtual world or like blockchain based virtual world, it's almost like they're like experience platforms where there's not one thing you do. If it was like a game or whatever, it's like, okay, your objective is this. But with this, it was like, you go in this world and you can do whatever. And really, they're like very social in nature. And so you could go build a house, go build a gallery, go build an e-commerce store, whatever. And that was a great, great like initial entryway into the ecosystem, because it made you learn about a little bit about everything versus just one vertical.
Yeah. And there were like to your point, there was just so many people with different backgrounds. Like for me, I was like, I want to get my art in world. Then there was data scientists who were...
Taken's theorem.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like he... made this freaking awesome brain. Do you remember the brain?
No, I thought he made the first... He was the first one to put an NFT in world.
I know, but do you also remember the brain before that? No. Okay, so he made this really cool interface. Oh, and by the way, some of what these people were doing wasn't like bugging Ben to make it for them. They just made like their own Chrome extensions and like made whatever they wanted to work in world work, which was really cool. So like Taken's theorem had made this huge brain in world where you can like click on the different parts of the brain and it like tells you like the science or whatever. I don't even remember like the what those parts of the brain do.
Cool.
So it was really cool. And it was the first time we had pop-ups in world. So it was like the pop-up with like the info. So like those sorts of things were so just like grassroots, I guess. And then Ben was actually, I think, even using some of that as inspiration, or I don't know if he used the actual code, but like to make those things a part of the world without the Chrome extensions. So it was really cool because you were just combining. And then there was also Steady, who was like super building a virtual school in world, because he like is still working on, he's so amazing, working on like virtual stuff for education. So there was all these different backgrounds in CryptoVoxels, and we were just like shooting the shit, like building together.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was just like a big collaborative fun time. And now, like, you know, all those people that were kind of at during that time, now they're all kind of doing their own things, whether it be their own projects, their own startups, their own whatever. But it was really cool to have that as like my school, essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, 2019 was just a really kind of deep, full-on immersion into the metaverse, the virtual world, NFTs, and all this stuff, and meeting different people. And it was an awesome year. So like, all right, so that's 2019. What kind of happened in like 2020?
So February 2020 was NFT NYC again, which was the conference we were talking. I don't know if we even named it before. The conference we were talking about where we met Jen. So that was in February 2020. And that was really cool because I was working on Yours Truly, which is like this huge collaborative puzzle, where I really wanted to create something. And a lot of this was inspired by CryptoVoxels too, and like the feeling of like what we were doing in CryptoVoxels. But I really wanted to create something where it wasn't just about a virtual world or just about a piece of art or just about whatever. I wanted to have something that was combined, you know, everything that was going on in the ecosystem. So I guess a little bit before then, when I made TuneIn, that was sort of my intro of like trying to like show NFTs together. The one cool. with the TV screens in the background, yeah, and showed, you know, the top NFT projects of that time. And then when February 2020, and doing Yours Truly, instead of just painting the different logos and like showing the different projects, I wanted to actually like get all of them involved. So I teamed up with Rhea Myers, who was freaking badass, is such a badass, and like helped me so much with that puzzle, like really did all of it with me.
What is Neon her District. Because she's like a genius.
She is just a total badass OG, has been doing this stuff, like cryptography for I don't even know how long.
So like she's like long. An actual cryptographist, or like what is her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she does like technical stuff that I could never even
understand. I don't
know. Yeah, but has been in this space for so, so long and is just like absolutely brilliant, has built amazing, like really, really early stuff in Ethereum Solidity, like, and even built stuff before Ethereum even existed. So like she's been around for a while. So I reach out to Neon District and Blockade Games wanting to do
Which Marguerite runs.
Yeah. Marguerite and Ben are co-founders. And they, I wanted to do a puzzle. And I was like, you guys are the puzzle people, obviously. Do you want to do this with me? And they were like, hell yes. And they work with Rhea as well. So I worked with them and Rhea to do the Yours Truly puzzle, which I really hope I'm going to forget people, but... we had Super Rare, we had CryptoVoxels, we had CryptoKitties, we had Axies, we had Age of Rust, Neon District, obviously. I know I'm forgetting people, but we had like this whole insane crew together working on the puzzle for this art piece. So the puzzle started in the art piece, and then the huge component of it, the sort of hub to, on how and where to go to do the puzzle, was built in CryptoVoxels. And that build is still there in Gangnam. And that was such a cool experience. That was like, we were building everything. I was working with the CryptoKitties team. We built with Alan. It was so fun. We made like going from how we said I wanted that CryptoKitty when my wisdom teeth were pulled out in 2017 when it first came out, to then come 2020. And I actually got to collaborate with the CryptoKitties team to make our own fancy cat, Miss Matheson, for the puzzle. Was like, I was totally fangirling for that. So we worked with Alan and their team to make a fancy cat for the puzzle, Miss Matheson, that was like totally inspired by the art piece. And we worked with all these different teams to make this happen. And then I also, the guys who ended up solving the puzzle, it was so cool for the community too. And like everyone who even tried the puzzle got a cool Yours Truly gas mask to wear in World. And it was really, really fun. And
people win like they won crypto, they won NFTs, they won
We had like 10 ETH. Over 100 NFTs.
Which 10 ETH at the time was like not, that, like wasn't that as much as it is
now. It was like a few grand. Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
We had over 100 NFTs. I reached out to all of the artists and games and everything to like to give NFTs to this prize pool. Like all of the insane freaking artists that we all know and like call crypto art OGs and like all this. Like they were all giving art for the prize pool. Crypto Voxel wearables to the prize pool. There was so much good stuff in the prize pool. And then physical, like t-shirts and hoodies, I think we did. But a group of five guys ended up solving it, and they have now become friends, and like I'm working on stuff with them, and they're so awesome. But that was another big like moment of just combining everything in the space and not just like keeping it to just art or just whatever, and bringing everything together. That was super, super exciting for me. And that was, yeah, that was at the beginning of 2020. It launched at the conference.
All right. Okay. So at this time, so this is 2020 now. How many pieces of art had you created in terms of like for the NFT space? And also like you were doing different series. So have you completed your Genesis series yet?
No. So the last two pieces of the Genesis collection, which are Thankful for Today and Filter, were yet to be released. And I always knew that Filter, I had to release in a super special way. So actually, Filter is being released really soon, which I'm really excited about. And then Thankful for Today will be released as well. But I really just wanted to like do that, like know exactly how I wanted to do it. And now I do. And then obviously after that, after like the Genesis collection, the rest of them are not necessarily in a certain collection. It was just sort of like where I was in my journey. So there's Choose, there's The People, there's Resistencia, there's a lot. It's hard to name all of them off the top of my head.
I need a filter.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that, I want to touch upon this now because I'm sure people are going to be like, wait a second, didn't Andrew get like all access to every single one of your drops?
Nope.
And I did not. She made me pay full price, and I lost a lot of many times I've been bidding against people. I would lose out, and I didn't get any special treatment, which, you know, is kind of bullshit. But
I know, and I also will, because I told him, I was like, so I always give people a heads up when the newsletter is a newsletter is coming out, and so the way that it works, the way that it's always worked, is it's first come, first serve, one per person, in the order that you respond to the newsletter. So you had to respond to the newsletter, and
there's
that's how
that.
You got it reserved.
Yeah, there's that. But then also, even on the auctions, I was like, can you, like, figure out how to save me one? And you're like,
no.
I cannot.
Yeah.
I was like, this is
yeah,
horseshit.
That's not how it works.
But yeah, no, I like, I get it. Like, in the fairness, like, you don't want to, yeah. So
it was super important to me to keep everything as fair as possible. And you guys know that, like, all my community, like, you guys know that it's really, really important to me. So you got the same treatment as everyone else.
Well, hopefully I can get a filter.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So now we're getting into, this is 2020 now. I started to attempt to raise capital for my funds because it was just personal capital up until that point. And summer 2020, I started reaching out to all these crypto people that, you know, I've heard of or I've known for years and just said, hey, we'd love to chat with you about NFTs. And like NFTs were like still not considered cool at all, not considered investable. And it was a really, really tough time in terms of, you know, fundraising for that. I'm sure a lot of, you know, other people that were NFT people that were already in the space that tried to fundraise at the time experienced the same thing, I would imagine. And so it wasn't until September 2020 when NFTs got really hot within crypto. And the reason that was is because all the DeFi hype and gains that were happening in you know, it's called like DeFi summer, in 2020 summer, the gains started to kind of dissipate, and like the crazy returns started to kind of trend down. And the DeFi crowd was like, okay, they were looking at like, what's the next big market in crypto? Like, what is the next quote unquote DeFi? And that crowd really went into NFTs in September. And suddenly like I was like, cool. Like it was like people were like, hey, Andrew, love to talk to you about what you're doing, blah, blah. And so that really, it was super, super lucky on my end. And yeah, I think what happened was the DeFi crowd, when they went into the NFT markets in September, like they realized pretty quickly, okay, wait a second, our skill sets, which are like technical, you know, very quantitative in nature, those don't really, at least for now, especially back then, those didn't really suit the NFT markets, which were driven a lot by, you know, not quantitative factors. It's like qualitative factors. It's like this, you know, social, emotional, you know, community, like these like softer things that are not, like human things versus like computer, like versus like numbers. And so anyhow, for me at least, started to have a lot of conversations in kind of, you know, the fall of 2020 and really the winter of 2020, and then was able to launch you know, kind of our first vehicle, investment vehicle, in January of 2021. But yeah, so for you, what was going on in 2020?
2020, I mean, a ton of just like creation and like seeing the space grow, seeing where it went, there was like a lot of the narrative of like, what is crypto art versus like NFT art, like, which is kind of interesting because I feel like there was definitely a change. I feel like now we hear people say crypto art way less.
I agree.
Like it's sort of like,
but are people but saying NFT time, art? What are they saying now? I feel like it's just like art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, it's become more general,
which
I guess.
Which is crazy because, dude.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
So hold on, wait. So you always say like your definition of crypto art is art with a crypto theme.
Yeah.
Right?
That like makes the most sense, right?
And then like NFT art is art that is like, you know, NFTs.
But I also get why people don't like calling it NFT art because it's like, why are you using the word?
You wouldn't say like painting art or like sculpture art. You just call
exactly.
it art.
Exactly. The like language that we've used has changed so much too.
Well, and also like back then, 2018, from my understanding, from what like, you know, our conversations was that like people like people were unsure whether or not the NFT art that had been created was like going to be a thing. It was like Bitcoin back in 2013. We don't know if Bitcoin's gonna survive.
Was creating to make money.
Well, that, but also like people didn't know if it was gonna like become a thing. Like I feel like now it's a thing. Like, oh, like, people make art
digitally. There were some hardcore, for sure, hardcore people and believers.
Oh, no, no. Well, of course. But I'm talking about the broader, like, I feel like now, like, just as big, like, no one says Bitcoin.
It was a joke. To people that were not in the NFT space, NFTs were totally a joke. Like, think about I won't even name the names, but think about, like, the big podcasts or the big, like, people in crypto that are really well respected and so smart, like, would totally laugh off NFTs. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. And then now,
it's like,
it's the
2021
norm.
Everyone started talking about NFTs. Yeah. It was like a switch flicked and like everyone's like, oh, I've loved NFTs forever.
Yeah. And like, at all, like, by any means.
But so, okay, so going back to what I was saying, like 2013, after that bubble pop from 1,000 to 200, people were like, wow, I don't know if Bitcoin's going to survive. Like, Bitcoin could die and then it's over forever. Mm-hmm. I feel like 2019 with NFT art, people were making this stuff and like people didn't know if this was going to be a thing. It could have just like died and like gone away forever.
Yeah, but I would say that I don't think people were creating in the hopes that it would become a thing. Nobody was creating to make money and like eventually sell their stuff for thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Like people were creating because it was something they were passionate about. And like, and SuperRare was finding, you know, artists that had no idea what crypto even was, but like they were excited about their art and wanted to like create this platform. Like it wasn't like, yeah, no one knew if it was going to be a thing, but nobody was really even thinking about that, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Or at least me personally, that wasn't, I guess, necessarily like the immediate thought in my head or the goal. So yeah, it was a lot different. And now, I mean, yeah, now even, like, just, like, the vocabulary, the space, the people in it, everything has changed.
Seeing at Christie's, seeing at Sotheby's, like, that is wild.
Yeah.
Like that is, it.
We've like,
gone
so crazy.
We've gone so far in such a short
TikTok
amount of time.
TikTok is making NFTs.
Yeah, like, we've gone so far in such a short amount of time, it's hard to, it, like, I think people think that, oh, NFTs, like, became a thing, we're creating, like, 2021. In reality, like, no, it's been some years where there's a long periods of time where we're like, we don't even know if this is going to be like evolve into something.
I mean, we just spoke at the biggest bank in Europe about like to them about NFTs. Like,
That was tough.
The that's
crowd
crazy.
There, not really into NFTs.
No, not yet. Not all.
Hopefully
of them,
in a few years.
Like that is totally crazy to think about.
Oh yeah, that we were invited to even talk. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the space has like grown a lot over the past year. And also, so in 2020, I guess, and I've talked a little bit about it, but a ton of info is coming out really soon. I basically started this idea, and we can both talk about how it sort of like originated, but what is now Cyber Brokers, and it's going to be like a 10,001, which it still is 10,001, project that combined my passion for crypto, passion for NFTs, passion for the metaverse, an art collection. And it was just a way to, you know, at first, actually, the supply I was a little nervous about because the space was a lot smaller. And now the space is huge. And like
you're like 10,001 is like too many.
Way too many.
But also the significance of 10,001 was to like pay homage to CryptoPunks and like, hey, because you know, like supply is like everything in crypto. Like these are all unique digital assets or whatever. And so by having 10,001, it's almost like you're seeding ground to CryptoPunks. It's like, okay, they were the first. They're like the cool ones. And now I'm following in their footsteps doing something very, very cool as well.
But the extra one, the reason why there was the extra one is because anyone who's followed my work knows that there's always like the addition of 21s of everything, but I always have a number zero. So technically the additions are like 22. And the number zero goes to the owner who owns the original art piece. And it just goes to them. They don't have to buy it or anything if they've purchased the original. So the 10,001 is because there is like the genesis piece of the collection that is labeled number zero, which is why there's that one extra. But yeah, so when I started thinking about cyber brokers and what I wanted to do and how I wanted to combine, really just like all of my art has been a part of my journey in combining different things and different moments. Cyber brokers is exactly that on a scale that I can share with a lot more people and in a cool way where we can add tech that I haven't been able to do before with my art, which is really exciting. And what I mean by that is like, especially, which was like really inspired by Jim and Avastars, because Jim and I were talking about Avastars right when he started it, and for a while I was going to do the art for Avastars, and then it just didn't work out because I was so busy and I felt bad, I was holding things back. So he found awesome artists obviously to do Avastars, but him really talking about the importance of on-chain and like us talking about this really inspired me. And I knew I wanted everything in cyber brokers to be completely on-chain. So working with Ben Heidorn, who is the CTO and co-founder of Blockade Games, he has been totally incredible figuring out how we were going to put this super intense art on chain, because nothing this like robust and detailed has been on chain before in this way. And obviously we wanted to make it so it's not totally clogging everything up. And we wanted to make it compressed. So he's done a ton of work to get all of that done. And really everything that I've told him like that's really important to me from like the technical side. And I have like no technical background at all, but I'm like, this is important to me. And he's like, okay, let's make it happen. So I mean, from the tech, from everything that we've been doing, it's evolved a lot. But it's super exciting. We're dropping news about it soon. And finally, I mean, it's been forever. Finally, we're going to be, launching really, you know, shortly. And I'm putting the exact date in the newsletter. So you'll have to look at the newsletter.
When newsletter?
The newsletter is coming out right when this podcast
time?
Yeah. It's in the same newsletter.
Nice.
But that's how I want everyone to find out, is through my newsletter.
I dig it.
So yeah, no, it's been so exciting. It's crazy because when I first started working on this, like, none of the PFP projects were out.
So PFP wasn't a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing.
I remember when Hashmasks were coming out, you're like, oh my gosh, someone's doing kind of like some avatars that are a greater supply than Punks. People are going to think that I'm copying Hashmasks.
I know.
Which is hilarious. That is crazy to think about, because now, look, there's like a billion of these things, right? Which, you know, I think that it's kind of cool to see these, to see people connect with avatars. Mm-hmm. And thinking about the future of the metaverse, it's like, okay, everyone's going to have, it's almost like clothing. You're not going to have one. I mean, sure, some people will have one avatar that is like their identity, but I feel like certain days you're going to be like, all right, I want to be a CryptoPunk today, or I want to be a penguin. I want to be like a Hashmask or whatever. And I think that's really cool that, these like profile picture projects have like proliferated.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like it's awesome. But yeah, a little delayed on the cyber broker launch, a little bit.
Yeah.
But
there were reasons. But yeah, also there with cyber brokers, which I you guys have seen like a small snippet sneak peek of them, but I'm really excited about how we're using digital fashion, how we're combining all of the crypto themes that I've, you know, loved and what got me into this space, how we're making it like super metaverse and a little bit cyberpunk vibe. Like it has like all of these different vibes together, and you like see the full out, like full outfits versus just like head up. So like you get to like experience more of it, and the characters are so different, and a lot of them are inspired by like our space. Like there's a D-Gen, I don't want to give away too much, but like there's, you know, there's traders, there's gunters, there's like all of these different things that are inspired by our space, and like different assets that are inspired by my art and different things out there that I'm really excited to show everyone. And then there's other aspects, which you'll see in the newsletter when it comes out, that we're doing with puzzles, with drops, with being able to get access to certain things. So there's a lot that ties into it, which I'm excited to just see what the community thinks about everything. But yeah, anyways, also, should we talk about a little bit of why part of it was delayed?
Yes.
Should we?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to say it?
We're having an NFT baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're actually having our first child in December, and that
early December. That like did really cause. Soon.
Yeah, that was a big cause for the delay of Cyber Brokerage for sure, because it's our first baby. It's we have no idea what we're doing.
Yeah, and apparently, I mean, I guess I didn't realize how hard it was to grow a baby inside of you. I just thought it would just happen, but so like, it makes you feel like absolute shit every single day. Yeah, like
the
day.
Whole first. So there's three trimesters. I'm learning all this. Three trimesters. Josie's first trimester,
she was barfing. More than just my first trimester.
It was like 1.5. It was like in your second for sure. But she was throwing up every single day for like hours. And I remember the first day it happened, I was like, oh geez, like
I thought I had the stomach flu.
Yeah, I was like, we need to go to the hospital.
My doctor told me if the next day I couldn't keep even water down, I had to, because I couldn't even keep water down. I was like deathly ill, and I was just like, what is going on? And basically that happened to some extent, not as bad later on, but like to some extent for 4.5 months.
Yeah. So that was not great. Yeah, it sucked for me. Cause I was like, how do I help you? Terrible. But for me, I was like, dude, like what can I give you water?
No. Like, Andrew was like, oh, like I totally know how it feels.
This is the first day.
Yeah.
I was trying to be like, hey, like, I understand.
Like, yeah, I know how it feels. Like I feel the same when I'm hungover. And I was like,
I remember you looked up to me. You were like, I was so mad.
I was like, I didn't drink all of yesterday, and it's a Tuesday, and I can't get any of my work done.
I haven't drank in this long.
I know. I was like, it's not like a weekend that I like partied the night before, and I'm like getting the consequences. So, that was really, really tough, but we're super excited, and we'll have to do some cool thing in NFTs when he's born.
Baby on the blockchain.
No, I think someone's already done that. I don't know. I think someone got married, did something with...
Maybe marriage certificate on the blockchain.
Yeah,
maybe,
I don't know. As an NFT. There must be a first before.
There has to be.
But it's pretty cool that we're both NFT obsessed and we're having a kid and we'll have to figure out something. I mean, we'll have to set up wallets for him and send him stuff.
Yeah, we're pretty deep, to be honest. We have actually two cats, and I think you mentioned this on your show Behind the Art, but... Our two cats—they're right there. We can't move this.
I know.
Camera,
I'm sorry. I keep looking. That's why I keep looking down there, because they look so freaking cute.
They're really adorable right now. But our cats are named Crypto and Kitty.
Yeah.
And so we are a little bit extreme, but yeah. Anyhow,
we are thinking. You know, we're trying to get our son to have the initials NFT.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That'd be really funny though.
So yeah.
All right. So this year has been especially crazy for myself, because basically we were able to kind of accomplish a lot of the things that we were trying to set out to build back in, from 2019 to 2020. We were able to basically launch a firm that is now investing in insane founders that are building the coolest shit in the NFT space by far. And we're just so happy with that. And I think 2022 is going to be just even crazier, even bigger, even better. And because I think right now we're in a pretty crazy environment through the NFT space, NFTs right now. It's a little bit frothy maybe, but I think that even after this period ends, and who knows, this could go on for 10 more years, it could end tomorrow, like I have no idea, but I think even, you know, when things do settle down, or if they do, then I think that, like, I don't think that anyone's going to be questioning whether or not NFTs are here. Will they go away? Will they be here? Like, no, I think everyone knows now. Okay, NFTs are here to stay. They're going to be revolutionary in everything from like art to gaming to like, you know, property titles to whatever. And so that to me is like just a huge win. So like, even if there is a crypto bear market and NFTs go down too, I know that like whatever we're doing is going to be, we're here for long term. We're here to just keep building and keep going. And so I'm happy that we've like breached that point where like this is it forever.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, a part of that is because NFTs have become so much more for a lot of us in the space than just like an investment, like how investing in crypto is. Like a lot of like the reason why Bitcoin has such its diehard people is because like there's this big ethos behind it that people truly like really believe in. And for NFTs, it's similar where we have that, but it's also these other connections where we're like visually connecting with stuff with like art or whatever it is, or
socially
games.
Connecting to communities.
Yeah, we're like actually spending our time like playing in these worlds, living in these worlds, and the community like runs so deep that that's not gonna go away. Like that community is gonna stay together and continue to build no matter what the ecosystem is looking like.
And also, this sounds cheesy, but like the amount of friends that I've made, NFTs
totally.
Is crazy. The amount of friends I've made in crypto, I made good friends in crypto or early days, but NFTs, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. it's like you're more, I don't know,
it's
there's
like
more interaction,
tribal.
There's more, yeah, and it's like, it's not just numbers on a screen, it's like, hey, come play this game, come like check out this art, come like do these things that are more, I don't know, more like normal, I guess, and so that, I don't know, that's what really
like,
helped to make,
yeah.
make connections.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think it's exciting. I couldn't love more like what I do, and I think you, same for
oh
you.
Oh my God, dream.
Yeah, like I feel, I say every day to him, literally every day, I say we are so lucky. Like the fact that we can work in an industry that we're extremely passionate about and support ourselves through that is what everyone dreams of.
That and also be a part of a movement. Like,
yeah.
Like we actually, you know, it's like, again, cheesy, but people, like everyone wants to do something that's bigger than themselves. And we feel like we're in this movement that is going to like revolutionize the world and bring upon like this metaverse mm-hmm. that we think is going to be a massive value add for humans in general.
Yeah,
so
and
like,
we get to help build that.
So cool.
Like that is what's so crazy. And like we get to help build it on so many different levels and watch all of these different markets like combine and like it through NFTs. It's just, it's totally mind blowing.
Every day is a dream. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Anyways, I guess we should sign off there.
All right, well, this is really fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
It was super weird for me. This is my first time like on video doing one of these things.
Yeah.
Very unusual for you. You do behind the art.
Yeah, but I still felt kind of awkward in the beginning. But I feel like I'm glad we got into a good rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just like, I hope we didn't bore you guys.
Hopefully not.
If you made it this far.
Yeah, there's no way they were still listening if we did.
If you made it this far, I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for supporting either me or him or both of us. If you guys know both of us, that's awesome. And we're super excited to keep building and show you what we're doing. So for me, follow, add yourself to my newsletter, which is a link in my Twitter. Follow me on Twitter and join my Discord. Those are the three things for you, Zmrrad.
Twitter. And subscribe to Zmrrad because it's awesome.
Yeah. And we'll release this on Zmrrad and we'll do a video
and
we'll release
it
on Behind the Art. So yeah, you'll see it in both places. We'll see it in one place and hear it in the other.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Hey, everyone. Stay tuned for more episodes of the Zmrrad podcast and subscribe to the Zmrrad newsletter for more info on all things NFTs. Thanks so much for listening.